B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, this is just a great day for our football team. Obviously, Mr. Kraft put this all together, but it's all about the players. These guys work so hard all year. They just competed every week, and they competed today like champions. Everybody counted us out from the beginning of the season to mid-season, but we're still here.
We're giving you some previous cuts, preparing you for what might happen at the end of this round.
I like that they got their slogans. They're on the same page with the slogans, though.
But we're still here.
we're still here.
It's not going anywhere.
Still here. Some of the players are having some fun out there. One player being Landon Roberts, who is holding a sign that has Max Kellerman's face on it. And it says Max Kellerman. And they've taken the Gatorade logo and they've photoshopped it to say Haterade as Max Kellerman, the Haterade player of the year. And it has a picture of Max Kellerman's face with a clown nose. So I don't know. A lot
of mixed messages there. A lot of mixed icons.
So I don't know if Landon Roberts or one of his teammates made that sign, or if the team made it for them, or if it was a fan who made it and gave it to them. Because that happens a lot of these parades where fans will have a sign and the players say, give me the sign, give me the sign. And then they hold up the sign. You know how that works.
Oh,
you've
seen
that.
Are you guys surprised by how much that fueled this team? Like, I mean, we've heard enough guys, at least on the defensive, kind of bring up the Max Kellerman thing and Stephen A. Smith. Are you guys surprised that that was maybe, I don't know, played a role in this team waking up and, you know, the impetus for turning this thing around is just the criticism that they hear?
You know what?
It's hard to believe that could be the case, right?
I'm going to say no. I think it's more health than anything. I think they just felt better and they were able to execute better because everybody started feeling better. You know, with Gronk, with the bulging disc and now being reported that he was, you know, working through in the middle of the season and Brady dealing with his stuff and the MCL. And it's like, you know, that'll hobble you literally and figuratively for weeks. And then when it goes away, like anybody who's, you know, suffered through any one of these injuries goes, you feel like you can take on the world. Mm-hmm. That's what happens, you know. So
you think the health, collectively health-wise, they were just peaking at the right time.
Yeah.
It is pretty amazing. Not many guys were on IR this year, that the injuries didn't play more of a factor.
And whatever they were dealing with, you know, happened back in, you know, weeks three, four, and, you know, beyond that. And by the time it came time to, okay, stop screwing around. We got two games left in the regular season. We got to, you know, close out like everyone knows we should be able to against the Bills and Jets. They finally found some health. And then in the playoffs, they just, you know, peaking at the right time, health-wise, team-wise. Kellerman? Maybe for a little bulletin board material, but in the overall scheme of things, is anything more important than health, Ted, to a football team?
No, but I will say this. It's sometimes such – Bill is a wizard, you guys, at – creating this narrative that's made up, fabricated or not, to get guys to kind of, if you're not getting buy-in, you need to get guys to buy in, or they're not responding to whatever it is you're doing, you maybe got to shake it up and use those tactics.
So many guys
are driven by what, criticize them.
2001, there weren't really a lot of doubters because you weren't considered as a team a real Super Bowl contender until all of a sudden the playoffs roll around and, wow, this team's really coming down the stretch here and playing really well. And look at the run they've gone on after the bad start. New quarterback, all of that. But going into Pittsburgh, everyone doubted the Patriots. Going into the Super Bowl, everybody was doubting the Patriots. Did you need it at that point?
Oh, you know what?
You guys had bought in.
Yeah.
You had all bought into what you were doing.
It helped.
Okay, then.
It helps.
So it can, even if you got a team that has bought in, then, right?
Yeah, that's true. It certainly is just it's a little sweetener, a little topper where it's like, okay, you'll use that. I mean, and you guys don't know all the stories about Belichick talking about parade routes and that they already got their tickets to the Super Bowl.
That was the Eagles one, right?
The Eagles in 04.
Show you the Philadelphia parade route.
Right. And again, we're all like, oh, yeah? Really?
Oh, okay. Oh, well, we'll show them. I mean, we all eat it up. I mean, we're grown men that should know different. We should know better. But it's the athlete mentality, and you get slighted, and Bill can frame it in a way that's it's very sellable. We'll just like, oh yeah, we just eat it up. Eat it up, man. And it's no different now. I mean,
I think I just imagine it can help in a week where the Patriots could have thought to themselves, well, the Rams are not going to be what the Chiefs were, right? The Chiefs week. You
totally agree.
You're the underdog, and you're going on the road, and you're going to a really hard place to play, and you know all of that. So if someone's doubting you, you're saying, well, we got to prove them wrong. But at least in that situation, it's hard to like be sold on the idea that you're somehow being slighted. Whereas if you go into this game, you think, all right, well, we're here. We're the favorite. We're gonna, and now all of a sudden you're here and say, wait a minute. Well, I'm not getting the respect we deserve. Mm-hmm. What, they don't think we're as good as we know we are. And you could just sort of use it, you know? But think ultimately, is it the reason you win? Of course not.
Nope. No.
Doesn't hurt, though.
No. It doesn't hurt. And and every little thing adds up in a big game. And psychologically, if you can get all 53 guys kind of thinking the same way, yeah, again, it's about execution. It's about good game plan. It's about good play. But that little psychological edge can be a difference, slight difference in maybe winning or losing the game.
617-779-0985. I'm still laughing at David Andrews, who is going completely shirtless for the rest of the parade.
If I could die and come back an offensive lineman, I would, because I love offensive linemen. They just don't give a bleep. I mean, they don't. I love them. They're just, you know, they stink. They're real hairy.
And I know they're strong, but a lot of them, weight training means I just got to keep the weight on, and if I can do that through, you know, like muscle mass, great. If I can do it through Ben and Jerry's, that works too.
Even better, yeah.
Just got to be big.
Yeah, yeah. Well, those guys, don't kid yourself. They're big boys, but they're elite athletes for their size.
They are. Are they allowed to eat whatever they want?
Oh yeah, and I have always. If you ever go see an offensive lineman at a buffet, I miss the buffets. God, I miss all the free buffets. But I'd go up to them the night before game, and they all have like ice cream with all the toppings on. I'm like, bro, what are you guys doing, man? What are you guys eating that for? We're playing a game. I goes, well, it was out there. I got it. That doesn't mean you have to eat it because it's just sitting out there. I know, but they put it out there. I know, but you can just pass it too.
Believe it or not, Ted, it's good for me. For what I do, not for you,
right.
But for me,
right.
It helps.
Yeah, yeah. No, it does. It does.
We got a tweet from a listener, by the way, before we take a quick time out. It says, the game Ted is talking about in Tampa was awful. My buddy called me from Mons Venus, which is a famous strip club in Tampa, at 3 a.m. before the game. Told me to load up whatever I had on Tampa because half the Patriots squad was still out at the strip club at 3 a.m. Feel bad for Ted, but I made $1,500. Thanks, Drew.
That's if that's news to me. If the guys were out there.
Oh, sure, sure. You're in the other half of the team.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Play fake. Goff in the pocket. Dancing. Pumps. He's under pressure. Goff rolling to his right. Being chased to the near side. Goff is going to be hit.
Yeah.
And down he goes. Kyle Van Noy closing in a hurry. Another sack in the playoffs.
Cash money play by number 53, Kyle Van Noy. Awful decision by Jared Goff.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five, the telephone number. All right, two cities that you would fly into as a player, Ted.
You fly into them late, okay? So it's a universal kind of thing around the NFL that you always have the night meetings, the night before the game, and they're usually around 8 o'clock. And you fly into a certain city, like usually around 3, 4 o'clock, you land, and you have, you know, 3, 4 hours before the team meeting, the mandatory team meeting, which is usually around 8 o'clock. I think most teams do that. Well, we'd always fly into Tampa Bay like at 6 o'clock.
So wow.
You literally had an hour and a half to 2 hours to meet your friends, see your family, and go grab dinner before the night meetings. Buffalo was that way too. I felt like it to some degree because there's a lot of things to get in trouble in Buffalo if you go north to our friends to the north. And there's a lot of things in Tampa Bay that you can get in trouble. Mons Venus was one of them. There's just certain cities that they were known for, certain attractions that teams would fly in.
What's the draw of Mons Venus?
I've never been there. I've heard that Mons Venus is.
I googled you've it. Never been there.
I've never been there. Sure,
it's like the world famous one in Tampa, right? Like yeah. That's the one. That people know of?
There's another one, too. Another famous one in Tampa. I feel like there's two. Mons Venus, and I forget the name of the other one.
It looks like a rather small place.
But it's supposed to be a magical place.
It's on the footprint of, like, a gas station, Hardy. So I'm just kind of wondering what goes on inside those four walls.
It's where dreams come true.
Yeah. It's supposed to be a special place. And it's a legendary place. I mean, it's known for its legendary status. So teams would consciously fly in later to that city so that the guys didn't have enough free time to get themselves in too much trouble.
Here's something I've never done. Gone to the Yelp page of a strip club, Hardy, but now I'm down that rabbit hole right now.
Oh, boy.
Now I'm down it right now. Visited the legendary Mons Venus in Florida, and I would say, yep, it's an excellent nude club. However, I don't think it's any better than some of the clubs in the Chicago area. So they're comparable to what's going on in Chicago, according to this one user.
Okay, I've never heard of Chicago being the known for that.
Jason in Tampa gives it one star, saying it's not a place for couples. Couples should stay away.
Okay, all right. I would say
Kevin.
Guys will go with
Kevin from New Jersey says $20 cover and there's no DJ. I mean, is that what are you going there for? A DJ?
No.
Is that what you go there for? The DJ?
No. Only give it two stars. Limited kids menu. That's just you got to give me something other than mac and cheese and chicken fingers. Let's have a couple different options on here.
Someone referencing Odyssey 2001 as being better.
Okay.
As being a better spot
in
the Tampa area.
Ring a bell, but I'm sure it's a fun place.
This person calling themselves First, complaining about the lack of variety in the dancers.
Okay.
Looking for a more diverse crowd from what they are offering at the Mons Venus. Two stars from Donovan saying he's disappointed in this place.
Wow.
That they're living off the name now. They're not really producing the same high-quality entertainment they once were.
Right.
617-779-0985. Tom's in Norwood. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, you know what? We've been dissecting the Super Bowl the last couple of days, which has been great. And, you know, obviously the outcome was good. But that got me wondering, do the coaches and players go back and break down the game similar to the regular season? And if they do, why?
Or do they just put it behind them and move on? Excellent question. Does the same type of breakdown take place for a Super Bowl as does for any other game, including the preseason?
Mm-hmm. The answer to that is no. I have never once watched any of the Super Bowls I've played in its entirety.
And, like, coming back for the next season to play, anything from the previous Super Bowl get referenced?
Never gets brought up. Never referenced. It is a game. I'm kidding you. I've seen every game I've ever played in, for the most part, except for the Super Bowls. Because when you come back from the Super Bowl, you know, we were getting ready for parades or you're gone after 2 days.
How about this? Because you have the unique experience of only playing and winning.
No. 96.
Oh, 96, one, yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't break down anything?
Nope.
I'm sure the coaches did, though. The coaches have to look at stuff after a loss.
I'm sure the coaches do, yeah. But we do not meet as a team. We don't we don't gather around and say, all right, defense, offense, let's go watch this game, and here's what we could have done better, this is what we should have done. None of that, ever in the Super Bowls. And the one I lost in 96... Parcells basically didn't ride home on the team plane and he was off coach. New York. Yeah. So maybe Hardy that if Parcells was still a coach and they go to the New York Jets, that maybe we'd have watched that game. My feeling is that we would not have, but yeah, it's the one game. I think players, where coaches don't make the players rewatch the game. That's surprising to you, huh?
I'm laughing because I.
What about a playoff loss? What about a normal playoff loss before a Super Bowl?
Don't watch it.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah,
so it's usually
thing.
Last game of the year doesn't get the review.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. That's it.
Okay.
That's surprising?
Right. A little bit.
Yeah.
Just because, like Tim just brought up, he goes, everybody talks about it,
yeah,
you know, and dissects it afterward, except
the
people, the players, and maybe some of the coaches.
Yeah,
too.
Because the that game, you're going to have what, a third of the team is usually turned over on average,
right,
year after year. So there's a lot of those guys that you saw in that game wouldn't even be there the next year, and it serves no purpose to rewatch it unless you just want to for your own personal, you know thing. But that's it.
Yeah.
Jim, what's the parade update? Boss, what? Who's shirtless now?
The entire tight end group is the shirtless. Dwayne Allen standing next to Gronk, and then Hollister, who probably should put his shirt back on.
David Andrews looks like a guy trying to
standing next to those two.
Why is it, he's
not quite the same size? Yeah,
he's just smaller, right?
David Andrews looks like a guy trying to sell meth outside of Stuckey's. He's just got himself next to a payphone that doesn't work anymore. But he's out there, and he's like, what, you're getting some five-hour energy? Come here, I got something better than that. Meet me around the back.
I swear, I don't know where David Andrews went to college or where he's from.
He went to Georgia. He's from Atlanta.
I was going to say, it had to be that deep south kind of region with that accent that I've only heard him talk. So.
Did you see
Hoyer's on Brady's? So Danny Etling has the baddest MF-er on the planet shirt on.
Okay.
Trying to upstage. Remember Brissett, the last parade, was wearing the Brady jersey?
Yep.
Hoyer's on there, and his kids, his daughter's rocking an AC/DC t-shirt.
I like that. Not sure.
Brady keeps switching back and forth between the holding up the 5 and 1, and then the double threes on his hands for the 6.
Rest his fingers. Is that what he's got to do?
I like the double threes.
Double threes, I think, is better. Double threes is
there's
better.
There's symmetry to it.
It looks
you know?
Like more. This
7's just going to be awkward next year.
Yeah.
Kinda weird. Yeah, that's
4 and 3.
Looks good. I like that. I like 5 and 2. 5 and 2.
You win 8, though. 8's just like,
oh.
I think Bill's making out right now.
Really?
Dude, there's a lot of PDA going on Bill Belichick's boat right now. A lot of PDA. Attaboy. Good for you, Bill. I think it was.
Can you blame her?
Oh,
look at him.
I mean, it's
irresistible.
Look at him. I mean, she is just looking up in his eyes lovingly. I mean, that's good for Bill. Attaboy. He's got a soft side. A lot of people don't think he's got a soft side. Clearly,
Kyle Van Noy is wearing his jersey backwards. Is that so that everyone can see his name on the front and easily identify him? What is he doing?
I would say that's an excellent guess.
Or maybe he just doesn't realize it. Look, these guys, we start going pretty hard early. Maybe he's just knowing someone needs
to tell
him.
It wasn't on backwards earlier.
Okay. Is Gilmore on his phone?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's Dante.
I saw Kyle Van Noy after the game, and he says he's calling us tomorrow.
Yeah, all the linebackers.
Very cool. All the backers right there.
Van Noy told us that he will be calling us tomorrow. We'll find out if he's.
So, like I said, if we're ever going to have this Maz Van Noy, Felger Maz Van Noy thing, it's going to happen during our show. He's got to call in. Those guys have to be in studio. They can go back and forth.
Right, but it has to happen on our show.
Yeah.
He calls
our time. It's on our time.
It's on our time. On my time now, okay.
I mean, it feels like with Van Noy, though. I mean, you talk about a switch being turned on. I mean, a lot of people didn't want to think that this team could turn on a switch because it's never done it before, but it did.
He turned it on.
He turned it on. That guy specifically turned it on, and he's which is great. Hey, look, better late than never. But he's got a lot to say now. Kyle does, so he's enjoying himself as he should.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium for this AFC Divisional Playoff between the 11-5 New England Patriots and the 13-4 Los Angeles Chargers.
San Diego's better.
Give to Michelle. Runs up the middle. Turning forward. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
San Diego's a better team.
Brady takes the snap. Back in the pocket. Throws a lot. Dorsett's wide open. Touchdown, Patriots. In the left corner of the end zone.
Have they stopped them yet?
I think the Chargers win.
Gives to Michelle. Runs up the middle. Pushing the pile. Driving his way into the end zone.
Look, San Diego. Sorry.
And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it. Travel to Kansas City with it.
It'll be a good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. I know, everyone thinks we suck and, can't win any games, so we'll see.
Welcome to Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City for the AFC Championship.
I'm going with the Chiefs.
Give to Michelle. Runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Yeah, I too am picking Kansas City.
He looks long. He throws it down the left side for Dorsett.
Yes.
And he makes the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
My God.
I'm Chiefs too. I've been all season.
A give to Burkett. Runs it left for the win. Touchdown.
at this age, coming off of no work in the spring, then, you know, you will be allowed to put a ball gag in me, McCone.
It's not their year, right? It just might be. It just might be.
I can't, you know, say enough about the effort that our players gave today. It was just an awesome job by all of them.
Just what it means to go back to Super Bowl after.
Unbelievable, bro.
Appreciate the support. We're going to go out here and kick their ass, baby. Hey, we're still here. We're still here. All right. Oh, yeah.
Super Bowl 53 between the New England Patriots, champions of the AFC, and the NFC champion Los Angeles Rams.
But I think in terms of talent, the Rams might just have a little bit more.
Throws to the near side. Edelman's wide open. Makes the catch at the 50. Brady drops back. Fires down the middle. Edelman makes the catch on the run. Cuts it right. Okay. Tripped up. But he stays on his feet.
The Rams, in terms of talent, have just a little bit more.
Lobs a throw. For Gronkowski. Left side. Makes the catch. Over two defenders. Tumbling to the two.
For the most part, I ignore the noise, but every once in a while, something trickles in.
You know, I've been sort of down on the Patriots all year in terms of being a championship team.
Takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
How are you able to focus despite the negative fan base, a.k.a. the haters?
I don't know. What do we do about the haters?
San Diego's better.
I think the Chargers win.
I'm going with the Chiefs.
Yeah, I, too, am picking Kansas City.
I'm Chiefs, too. I've been all season.
We love them.
T-Bone, do that one. Picking on all the other shows. That's not nice, T-Bone. You could have found a pick in there of me. I picked Kansas City. I took the Chiefs. I didn't expect them to go as far as they did. Picked them in the Super Bowl once they got there. But I thought the Chiefs was... I thought Kansas City is where their season would end. And it did not. This team, it felt like in a lot of ways it was not their year if you go back 6 or 7 weeks after those back-to-back losses against Miami and Pittsburgh. But here they are again.
I mean, they did something, Beatle, they hadn't done before, right? I mean,
they did it in a different way than they've ever done it before.
So I think a lot of the criticism, a lot of the skepticism early on was warranted because you saw things on this team that you had never seen before. Just flaws. You saw an offense that for the better part of the season, I mean, most of the season didn't have an identity. I mean, when you can't really declare what your team's identity is in weeks 14 or 15 of the NFL season, I mean, there should be skepticism. They figured it out, man.
So Ian O'Connor, who recently wrote a book on Bill Belichick that we've discussed a little bit in the past, he actually wrote about yesterday Tom Brady in writing for ESPN.com, talking about Brady now being in sort of that realm of having to go for more than Jordan, right? He's no longer competing against other quarterbacks. He's no longer competing against the Montanas of the world. He's competing against everybody. Mm-hmm. Gretzky, and not that Gretzky has all the championships, but, you know, best of all time type of athletes. So he, in this article, sort of discusses the part about Brady not being close to retirement, because why would he at this point? He says Brady wants to pass Jordan with number 7. Bet on it. He started his career by winning 3 or 4 titles. Why should he finish it by winning 3 of 5 when he could just as easily win 4 of 6? And I feel like when I read that, I hope that some people are not losing sight of how hard it is, despite it being in a way that didn't go like other years, right? This was not like the last two that they've won, when they had really good teams that got better as the year went on and were expected to sort of be there. This team didn't have that expectation in the middle of October. But they did get there, and they did have to get better to do it, and they did have to flip a switch, as Devin McCourty has said a number of times now. That doesn't mean that it's easy for them to do it. It doesn't mean that what they just achieved in winning this was easy to do. And I think that because it's happened so many times now, 6 championships in this run and 3 other Super Bowl appearances, that you sort of get caught up in the, that's just the Patriots, it's Brady Belichick, they'll be there again. I think that's a mistake. Mm-hmm. I think it's a mistake to think like that. And I don't think the team thinks like that, because they did it.
Yeah.
Right? They had to go through it. They know what it took.
Yeah. They're very difficult. I can speak from experience. They're very, very difficult to get there. I will say that it's certainly no foregone conclusion that they're just going to go win another one. What I will say
And I think this speaks to what's going on. It's an indictment, I think, against the, a lot of the teams in the NFL. Is I do think what's a foregone conclusion is that they'll be in the mix, that they'll have a chance, an opportunity to play for a Super Bowl next year. I don't think that's a stretch. But, yeah, I don't want to take any shine away. What they did and what they accomplished this year with all the things that were going on, the hangover from last year's Super Bowl, really not kind of playing uninspired football, just not playing together, not playing like what I would think most Patriot teams plays with this unified kind of enthusiasm. It just like a lot of this, I saw a lot of uninspired play. But then they figured it out. Okay, but I will say this, and so it's an incredible feat what they were able to do. They had to beat two very good teams in the Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs to get there. And the Rams, I mean, that was the number one rated offense in the NFL, and they held them to 3 points. So they are very deserving. Don't take anything away from them. But I would say Ian O'Connor, what he's suggesting is they're going to have a chance to at least be in the mix, I think, year after year after year. And because of not only the quarterback and head coach, but you have what I don't know of another team that has the three things that maybe it's taken to have this dynasty: an owner, a coach, and a quarterback that all literally see the same thing. They're all on the same page. And I don't know if this, why is this thing going to stop? Why not next year? Because if you look at all the owner, coach, quarterback combinations out there, they're not that good. I mean, you can look at, there's some good quarterback head coach combinations, but none that even come close to being able to year in, year out, compete at the level that the Patriots do. So I don't see this thing slowing down, guys. I really don't. I just don't see this thing all of a sudden just, well, it's six, and I don't see them. They're going to be in the mix for the next few, as long as Tom Brady's on this team, they're going to be in the mix every single year, man.
And quite frankly, beyond that, I mean, I know it's silly to think that you're going to be able to find a quarterback that's going to compete at anywhere near the level that Tom Brady has over the years. But when you look at, realistically, what he's done, just this season, is it another worldly performance? He's not out there doing things that defy logic, like, let's face it, like Patrick Mahomes has done. He's not playing the game in a new way. And the team is not good enough to where you can find someone just to come in and be the steward of the offense and be a game manager. No, it requires more than that. But is it unthinkable to picture this team staying together with a coach, with a good group of coordinators, and finding the quarterback that replaces Tom Brady a couple few years from now, whatever it is, he keeps saying 45, even then, and being able to maintain at least some of the success, still be a playoff team, still have a hope? I mean, with the coaches in place and with the ownership that seems dedicated and still has the commitment of doing the right things and not overpaying for certain guys, and if they're able to continue all of the other aspects of the business and just replace the quarterback, not saying they'll have the exact same success. Nobody will. We're not going to see this again. But can they come close?
I think they can.
I think they can too.
I think they can.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
You say you want to play 10 years. You're already past that point. 45. Do you think you're cutting yourself short? Why not 50?
50's too long. I think 45 is the goal.
How do you stay grounded?
When I was a late bloomer. I struggled in college. I struggled at early part of my career. Like, I was never the first guy chosen.
Yeah.
So I think that part is just, it's in me, it's deep, and it's there, and it's not going anywhere. And the foundation of where I was, who I am, where I started, where I'm at now is a reflection of so many things and situations, occurrences that had to happen.
Tom Brady taking part in the Patriots parade. Getting mixed reports on whether or not there is going to be any speaking. Apparently, the TV stations have asked multiple times if they were going to speak. And they were told no. Everybody was told no, they're not talking. But then they set up there as if maybe they were going to talk, that there's an outside chance. But from what I could tell, it doesn't look like they're going to.
Is that a first?
Like they're going to get back on the bus and go home.
That's a first, right? I mean, there's always been kind of a deal at the end, right, where everybody gets up.
Not always. Oh, no, they actually did away with it for, I think, like the four. The four, and that came after the first, you know? Or no, I should say the three, like the next three.
There was definitely one in 03.
There was
one in 03. Oh,
okay. The station I was working at in Providence had a bus trip up there, and I was on it because I wasn't full-time.
All right,
at the time.
So like 05.
City Hall was right.
Yeah, absolutely.
They did away with it for like a decade, and then the last Patriots won for Super Bowl 51, they came back with it. First time they had it again in a long time. And so it doesn't look like that's going to really, just from what I'm watching live, it doesn't look like that's materializing again. Looks like these guys are good. They're going back home. How good is that, though, to get to the end of the season if you're them?
You know what? It's so fun. This parade. It's like you, the first time you can like breathe and enjoy, just enjoy the synergy with the fans. And you're feeling pretty badass days like today. Like you are feeling, you know, it's a day that Bill will actually let you enjoy it, where he doesn't, come and say, hey, you know, we got to turn the page. Like, just don't turn the page. We're going to enjoy this. And it's the first day that you feel like, okay, I can really enjoy what we were able to accomplish.
So yesterday, in between the game on Sunday night and today's parade, both Julian Edelman and Tom Brady went to Disney World. They went from Atlanta to Orlando, from Orlando back to Boston. While Tom Brady was there, he caught up with Michael Strahan for Good Morning America and was asked about being called the greatest of all time or the GOAT.
A lot of people, myself included, call you the GOAT. You know what the GOAT. Greatest of all time.
I don't even like that. I don't even like it. It makes me cringe. It makes me cringe.
Really?
It makes me cringe. I guess I take compliments worse than I take. I wish you would say you're trash, you're too old, you're too slow, you can't get it done no more. And I would say, thank you very much. I'm
going to go prove you wrong. You're driven by criticism more than you're driven by success.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you buy it?
I
don't.
I kind of do a little bit. Just a little bit, but just a little bit. I don't think he's being totally truthful. It's hard for some people to take
that. Let me just ask him this. I'd like to ask Tom Brady a follow-up, and if you want to answer, if you want to play the role of Tom Brady, you feel free. Tom, how did you feel when you took that endorsement deal to be on the cover of Madden when it was the GOAT edition? When it was the GOAT edition. How did you feel about that? Were you okay with that? Yeah. Clearly you were.
Yeah, no, that's true. You know what? That's true.
He prefers baddest MF-er on the planet.
Yeah,
not GOAT.
I'm the baddest MF-er on the planet. Don't call me the GOAT. That makes me cringe.
That's true. You know what the GOAT. Greatest of all time.
That false modesty? A little false modesty going on.
Yeah.
I'd say there's a little bit of that. You know, Tommy's got the...
Trying to be humble.
You
don't need to be humble.
I can say it about myself, but nobody else can call me that. I can say I'm the baddest MF-er on the planet, but nobody call me that. I don't want anybody calling me that.
There's probably a little bit of false modesty going on. You know, that's probably because he's, you know, early on, the core of Tom Brady is that guy. The answer he just gave to Michael Strahan, that's kind of Tom at his core. But Tom's changed over the years. All the success and all the things that come with doing what he's been able to accomplish, you lose some of that innocence. And I don't think Tom is that innocent guy anymore. That was legit driving a Jeep Wrangler.
Wasn't it yellow?
Yellow.
Yeah.
Hardtop. Like, bro, really? I mean, so that was Tom when he first got here. The Tom we're seeing now is, you know, look, we all know he knows what he's accomplished. He knows what he's capable of doing. But he's still got that deep inside, that boyish charm, if you will, that old golly gee Willikers charm, that's still there, but over time, with all the success, he knows what he is.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911.
Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.